And we are now officially 2 days into astronomical summer. And I think it's fair to say this year is astronomically different than any of us can remember. And if you're like me, you're ready for a break. But as Massachusetts continues to reopen and we're approaching the July 4th weekend, you might be wondering, how do you travel safely during a pandemic? Joining us now to offer some guidance on that is Dr. Lin Chen. She's the director of the Travel Medicine Center at Mount Auburn Hospital, president of the International Society of Travel Medicine, and an associate professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. Dr. Chen, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
And also joining us is Elizabeth Scott, associate dean and professor of biology at Simmons University. She's also the co-director and founder of the Simmons Center for Hygiene and Health in Home and Community. Professor Scott, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much. Good to be here, Chris.
So I've got lots of questions for these two, but I'd love to hear your questions as well. If you have specific questions about your summer travel or just generally how do you navigate the summer season safely, join the conversation 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Dr. Chen, I'll start with you because we had you on back March 11th on Radio Boston, which feels like about 30 years ago at this point. Right. I'm curious, what in the months that have played out between then and now, what have we learned about the coronavirus and how it spreads, and how are you thinking about our current situation?
Thank you, Chris. So first of all, let me say that there's still so much to learn about this virus. Back in March, we were thinking about how to respond to it, how to go into shelter in home, how to learn more about the virus. And we were watching the outbreaks playing out in Asia and then in Europe. And as far as travel goes, from January until March, most travelers were asking, should I go or should I stay home? Should I cancel? Should I postpone? And we're kind of in a similar situation now as businesses are reopening and people are going into this reopening of society phase two. And so as far as travel goes, I think a lot of people that I've talked with are thinking about more local travel rather than the long distance travel that people had been considering back in January, February, early March. But again, there's still so much we need to learn about this virus. We know a bit about how the clinical symptoms, how frequently it occurs, some of the basic things we can do to prevent getting exposed or getting infected, but there is still a lot we need to learn.
Yeah, I think there's some interesting stuff there. Folks looking at traveling in a more local way, do you think that's just based on the mode of transportation that you need to use? Or what do you think it is about staying close that is comforting some folks?
I think the transportation might have something to do about the plans. But I think also because there are still a lot of unknowns about what distant locations may, certain requirements that distant locations or destinations or countries might have. So staying closer to home is an easier way to manage. And going back to the transportation, if one can drive, if you can drive yourself to a national park a few hours away or a beach an hour away, that's also a bit easier to plan. And also to the understanding about the more local epidemiology, whether cases are increasing, what the businesses are doing. I think there are so many things contributing to that decision to staying closer to home.
Yeah, there's an interesting question that driving to a park a few hours away raises for me and at least one of the callers. Again, it's 1-800-423-8255 if you want to join the conversation. Let's go to Jonathan in Chilmark. Jonathan, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
I wanted to ask the doctors how best to manage restroom stops on the highway. I'm always nervous going into a restroom area and practicing best hygiene for folks.
Yeah, Jonathan, I think it's a great question, and I think it's one a lot of people are thinking about. So let me throw this to both of you guys. What should folks be thinking about using public restrooms?
I can start on this one. I've been thinking about this one, too. This is Liz Scott here. Firstly, it's very important to, I think, minimize your time in the restroom. So be efficient and get out of there pretty quickly. I would recommend sanitizing your hands on the way in as well as on the way out. That way you don't actually add any contamination yourself to the environment. Wear a mask. Do a thorough 20-second hand wash and use a paper towel, preferably, to dry your hands. And then use a paper towel to actually exit the facility and sanitize your hands on the way out. I'd also say that restrooms are not the place to be using cell phones and hanging out anymore. So, you know, I think being efficient and getting out of there is the thing to do.
Get going and then get going. Got that.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, are you like the air dryers?
Completely.
Yeah. The air dryers, how risky are those? Is that, would you rather see people walk out with wet hands if that's the only option?
No. You know, I think Americans understand thoroughly hand washing now, but what we haven't taught or we don't hear so much in the conversation is the importance of hand drying. That's the second part of the process. So it is really important to dry your hands. So preferably, just because we're really not sure about the potential effect of blowing things around in restrooms using these hand dryers. Preferably, I would use paper towels if possible, but if not, go to the hand dryer.
Yeah. Professor Scott, obviously hygiene is your area of expertise. You specialize in this. What is there anything you think besides the hand drying that is missing from our conversation about hygiene or the way we think about and approach hygiene?
In restrooms? Are we talking about specifically?
Or generally, as we're navigating, things are reopening. Yeah.
Yeah. I think what's really important is that we have to, I've sort of been thinking about this today and thinking about, we just have to be so mindful about hygiene in a way that we haven't been for a very, very long time. I mean, decades and decades. We've really become quite complacent. And so right now, there's no room for complacency. And so with regard to this question of traveling, I think, you know, I've broken it down into sort of thinking, prioritizing your plans to minimize your risk. And maybe that's why people are choosing not to fly, because for them, that's not the most important priority right now. Taking personal responsibility to protect yourself and to protect others. That's really high on my list. You know, we don't just receive hygiene, we have to practice hygiene, and we practice it to protect ourselves and to protect people around us. And then
it's a really interesting risk benefit analysis that we're kind of all going through at this point.
Yep, exactly. And then I think, you know, you've already mentioned the importance of planning, and I think it's possible to do this, you know, as safely as possible by really planning and breaking down the travel into small steps and thinking about each part of the journey and how to accomplish it safely. And paramount all the time is, you know, physical or social distancing and wearing a mask.
Yeah. Dr. Chen, you talked at the beginning about some of the benefits of traveling in a more local way. I do want to go to the phones here. We've got an interesting question from Yolette in Randolph. Yolette, welcome to Radio Boston. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I, in fact, see Dr. Chen almost every summer before I travel to Haiti for my volunteering work. And so my question to her is, does she feel that it's safe to travel to a country like Haiti this summer?
It's a great question, Yolette. Dr. Chen, what do you say?
Hi, it's so nice to hear from you. Thanks for that question. So traveling abroad this summer is quite complicated. And so I think to start, we want to think about whether you have any increased risk when it comes to COVID in terms of getting severe disease or the fatal disease, critical disease. There are a number of health problems age, older age is a concern. Cardiovascular disease, diabetes, hypertension, respiratory disease, underlying respiratory disease, those are all potentially can increase a traveler's risk for severe disease from COVID. So think about that and then consider whether you would tolerate certain is coming down with COVID and whether you would accept coming down with a disease like COVID in a foreign country or in another country. And I'm aware that you go to Haiti regularly and doing great work. But think about how comfortable you would feel if you were to get sick. And so basically it's your threshold for the risk and your risk tolerance. And how important is it to travel at this time versus postponing it a bit until the situation with COVID is a bit clearer? And then
To interrupt you, Dr. Chen, but I just want to follow right there with the situation a bit clearer. Does that mean until we have a vaccine, until we have effective treatment? What's the finish line look like?
Exactly. So until we have an effective vaccine and treatment, an antiviral that will really take care of COVID. So let's just assume that you are thinking that you are going to go, then think about the transport itself, the how you get to the airport, ground transport. Do you feel safe about that one? The airplane itself, I think many airlines have introduced improved disinfection, social distancing, physical distancing in terms of seating, wearing face covering, face mask, good hand sanitizing, wiping down, disinfecting places that you touch, trying to try to avoid touching your face, trying to avoid touching high traffic areas, high touch areas when you're in the airports, waiting areas, and places like that. And think about where you might be staying when you arrive there, and whether they may be taking measures to reduce the chances of transmission of COVID. So there are many, many concerns, many more questions that we assess now with COVID. And then as far as activities go, we also have to think about whether you're doing outdoor versus indoor activities when you're there, whether you're going to be with large crowds, whether you might be among people who may be carrying it but are not aware because they're not getting tested due to the local health system and what their capacity is at your destination in terms of testing and health service for foreigners. So there are many more questions that we consider
just
now.
Just a few things to be thinking about, huh? I want to get a couple more callers in while we've got a few minutes here. Chrissy in Quincy, you're up next. Welcome to the show. Chrissy, what's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm calling because my family and I, my sister and I, and sometimes my daughter, we like to go to the Hydrangea Festival down in the Cape. And we like to drive together, but we're not in the same household. I'm wondering if that's, something we should be doing, or do we need to take separate cars
Question, Chrissy. And I'd love to add to that, too. Dr. Chen mentioned, think about where you're staying. Let me throw this one to you, Professor Scott, in terms of both driving, should they drive in separate cars, but also if you're staying at a hotel or a rental property, what should you be thinking about on that end as well?
Sure, great question, Chrissy. And really, you're kind of talking about expanding your bubble. It sounds like you're living in one bubble with with your family, and now you want to expand your bubble to your sister. And so, yeah, there are a lot of questions to think about that. I think, obviously, the straightforward answer is if you can drive separately, then that would be the safest thing to do. Otherwise, you really have to think about each party who wants to get together in the bubble. You know, you have to think about spending time isolating yourselves before you get together so that you can get together. And actually, even possibly testing, that would be ideal if possible before you get together. And I know other people are thinking about getting together with other family members. And at this time of year, people are often thinking about getting together, bringing the kids up to see the grandparents. So, you know, another question is, who's at risk in your bubble? You know, is there anyone that you'd get together with who's at greater risk than you for complications of COVID because of their age or because of other underlying conditions? And then, Chris, you asked about where you stay, rentals and hotels. So, you know, there
are let's say that group, that expanded bubble, is staying together in an Airbnb or something. Is that a feasible situation? How would you navigate that?
There are questions to ask if you're renting or going into a hotel. Things like asking the place you're going to, who was last there, or when were people last there? Many Airbnbs are talking about a 3-day buffer now between rentals, so to give time, because we know that the virus potentially can survive for up to 72 hours on inanimate surfaces. And I think that's, you know, that to give 3 days is a very safe period of time between rentals. So, you know, what's the buffer since anyone was last there? How is the place being cleaned and disinfected? These are things you want to know about. And then when you get there, you want to think, well, or before you get there, is there room there to safely quarantine someone if they were in your family bubble, if they were to go down with symptoms? Can you separate them out? So those are, you know, important things to think about before you even get there. And then there are some things you can do when you actually arrive on site. You know, you want to wear a mask when you arrive. I would recommend opening up all the doors and windows so that you have good airflow through the indoor environment. And then everybody who's in that bubble, in that space now, you become one family unit in that bubble, and you have to make some commitment to each other that you're going to now keep the bubble closed. So, you know, if you're with grandparents, even if the grandparents stay at the base, at the Airbnb base, but other members of the family go off to some other event or to restaurants or bars, you are in effect bringing all those people you met, you're in effect bringing them back to your grandparents when you get back. So, you know, there has to be some mutual understanding and commitment as to what that time together is really going to look like.
Dr. Chen, final question. We just got about 20 seconds or so. Max in Weston was wondering, does it make sense to try to plan to travel to places with lower number of COVID cases?
I think that is a good consideration. If you're thinking about going to another state, for example, that has lower COVID transmission, or another location, another country. But remember that different places have different requirements. So
it's all about the testing numbers, I'm sure.
It's all about testing, right? So you might need to be tested. You might need to go into quarantine.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. That's Dr. Lin Chen, Director of the Travel Medicine Center at Mount Auburn Hospital, President of the International Society of Travel Medicine and Associate Professor of Medicine at Harvard Medical School, and Elizabeth Scott, Associate Dean and Professor of Biology at Simmons University. Thank you both so much. Really appreciate the time today.